What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of my ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity.
Welcome to The Fan and the Fool, everyone. I'm the fan, Matt Antonelli.
I'm the fool, Alex Cameron.
Welcome. Alex Cameron.
Matthew.
To
Antonioli.
This episode, I want to say 14? 13.
No, I think 14, you're right.
We've surpassed Jodie Whittaker.
It could be wrong, I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Nope.
She's the 13th Doctor.
Oh, cool.
We've surpassed number 13.
We've probably done more episodes than her by now anyway.
No, she's done two whole seasons.
Oh, okay. We look at some catching up today.
We'll meet her in 12 Doctor's time.
Oh, okay.
Yay!
Yay! It's all white males for the next 12 Doctors.
And then one female, and then we'll see, because she's announced she's leaving.
Right, okay.
So we'll see who's 14.
Right.
So let me start with my usual review of the latest episode.
Yes, Matthew's.
Without any spoilers.
It's called Matthew's Brief Spoiler-Free Review.
Yes.
Of current episode.
Yes, so current episode this week is good.
Yep.
It features a planet that I didn't know existed and a temple that I didn't know existed, and I can't say the name because I don't want to ruin it for you.
Brand new things.
Brand new things. It also features some time traveling.
Okay. Yes.
But again, there's still that thing where one of the companions is kind of like, this is all fine. Like, I'm okay with all this. I mean, they're not okay with it because one of their friends is not well looked after in the episode. But it has quite an intense ending.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has the Doctor, like, remembering things from her past.
Oh, which is other Doctors' past?
Other Doctors' past.
That's interesting.
So it's good. It's a good old one of those times where you go, oh yeah, I watched that. You know?
Sure. Flashbacks?
Flashbacks.
Okay, question for you. When the Doctor...
By the way, it's getting a high score. I'm going to give it an 11 out of 13. It was a very good episode.
There you go. Question.
That's it.
When a recent Doctor remembers something from the past, do they imagine what they were then or who they are now? So is it Jodie Whittaker imagining Jodie Whittaker doing something from like 10 years ago?
In this case, yes, that.
Oh, wow. So they reshoot a scene.
Mm-mm.
You can't
they kind of expand on a scene.
Oh, okay. But they picture themselves as they are now.
Yes, but that's more due to the narrative of this episode.
Oh, so that doesn't always happen.
Doesn't always happen. Sometimes it's a flashback where you actually see the previous Doctor, or previous Doctors, whichever one's doing their thing.
Right. It's interesting.
Yeah. Depends how far back. Because obviously, I don't know if you know this, but camera work has improved since the 60s.
Right.
So if someone's a flashback to the 60s isn't what you want to see.
But I was thinking it would be cool if they did a flashback to something that happened, like, say, in the ones we're watching, the first Doctor's time.
Mm.
And they reshoot it with that person, but they put it on the smaller resolution and in black and white.
Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Oh, so that does happen. Okay, I've called it.
You just gotta wait till we get closer to the
more recent
stuff.
Yeah,
50th anniversary stuff.
Well, it'll be a little while.
You ready?
For what?
So the next segment...
Is it Doctor Who?
Who? That was a bit too high-pitched. Well, I'll take it.
Even for you.
What's that supposed to
be? I don't know. It's not Doctor Who, but go on. I'm guessing. I don't know. Sorry. Explain.
I was going to use something else, but then I found this and I was like, apt. As in appropriate. For this podcast. So are you going to say it's not Doctor Who?
Oh, okay. Let me think
about
this.
You can't look at the bottom of it, because that will tell you what it
is. I'll just turn it around. I'm not going to look at the bottom. Underneath. Not at its bottom. No, it's a tail, not a bottom.
Oh.
I'm going to guess... I could be wrong. I'm going to guess it's not Doctor Who. And it's... I don't think it's a Pokemon. It looks more like a Digimon, but I don't know for sure.
First of all, there will never be a Digimon in this place.
Oh, okay. Is that a sin?
I just don't like Digimon.
Right. Then it's, I think it's not Doctor Who, it's a Pokemon thing.
It is a Pokemon thing.
Oh, yay.
It is Dialga.
Okay.
Because everyone, today, Pokemon Brilliant Diamond came out, and Shining Pearl, which is a remake of a really good game, Pokemon Diamond.
Yes, I remember. But it's brilliant now.
Now it's brilliant.
Oh, okay.
It was average before. the other one's called Shining Pearl, I think.
So did that figurine come with the game?
Yeah, because I pre-ordered it like 4 years ago.
Ooh, I see.
And now it arrived today. And instead of playing it, I'm doing this podcast with you. So once we're done here...
I'm sorry.
That's happening. Also, I'm going to play some more Animal Crossing.
I thought you liked doing this podcast.
I do.
Okay.
But, you know, some days, you know.
Some days, we do it one day a week. I'm sorry.
Dialga is the Pokemon that symbolizes time.
Oh.
So I was like, ooh, it has a special unique move called Roar of Time, which is like a hyper beam, but timey.
Whimey?
Oh, someone's catching on.
I don't even know what it means. Like, you just said it enough that it's sunk in.
Ready? There. We'll make it even cooler. Timey whimey. Oh.
Why are you palming me in the face?
I was going for a high five. No, we don't actually high five. I just went for a high five and you didn't react.
And that's good?
That's good.
Okay. I love being involved in references when I don't know what's going on. It's like, you know, in The Office where Michael's like, I love inside jokes. I wish I was part of one. That's what it felt like. I know how Michael Scott feels now.
Too bad that's just a joke with myself. But maybe people listening to this will have seen the mini episode called Time Crash, and they'll know what's going on.
True.
Don't look it up.
I won't. I said I won't.
Good.
All right, that's all our mini segments out of the way, is it?
Let's do the main thing.
The main thing.
Okay, so what... where did we end last... The last episodes.
I'm trying... We had left London.
London.
Oh, we'd left Susan behind. Well, not we. The doctor made that decision. Left Susan behind to make a new life for herself with David.
Yes.
So the TARDIS is much more peaceful and quiet. There's no screaming. There's no stabbing of scissors.
Which is probably why when we start this episode, the doctor is having a nice nap.
You know, I didn't put that together, but... Maybe that's what it is.
So, yes.
We were in the TARDIS.
Yep.
And is there anything I'm missing? This starts with them still in the TARDIS, so...
I don't think you miss anything.
Good.
I'm just looking for a thing.
But it does start with the Doctor having a nice little nap to himself. And yes. Ian and Barbara being like, he didn't even realise we've landed. We should probably wake him up.
Yes. Now, we do cut to... another person who sees the TARDIS. Well, I guess she doesn't know it's the TARDIS, but she sees something on a sonar thing.
Yep.
And who is the person? Her name is Vicky. So this is quite a...
And not short for Victoria, just Vicky.
Oh, no, she makes that very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with an I. V-I-C-I-K. V-I-C-K-I.
Vickick. V-I-C-K-I.
The sick.
Vicky.
So...
And I'll tell you, first thing I thought, and I mean, we kind of get the answer, I immediately saw her and went, Susan's replacement.
Yes, can I tell you something? For that? Okay, so...
Go for it.
Like we said before the episode, we're going to kind of just like mix trivia in.
We're also going to mix trivia in.
So the actress who plays Vicky, Maureen O'Brien, is that her name? Maureen O'Brien, yes. She actually, she got the part, and I think the producer asked her if she could dye her hair black and then get it, like, put up like Susan
Tired. Were they just going to have her be Susan?
No. She's still going to be Vicky, but they were like, just replacement needs to be the same.
Wow.
And she was like, well, why don't you just get Caroline Ford back then?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So she didn't do that.
Thankfully.
But I think I put that she appears more independent than Susan, though.
Yeah.
Because she's doing a lot more stuff. And she's also hanging out with some jerk. And she seems to be managing okay somehow.
Yeah. I immediately thought this is what's... It's going to end with her becoming Susan's replacement. Because it's a young girl who obviously needs some sort of father or grandfatherly figure.
And who's just lost a granddaughterly figure.
The doctor.
Yeah. So,
although he seems to be at peace about it. He's half asleep.
Yes. He does have a moment where he's like, Susan, fetch my coat. And then it's like, I've left Susan in the 22nd century or whatever it is.
Yep.
In a land that's been destroyed by Daleks.
Bye!
With a random guy who's a few years older than her.
This show does not seem concerned about leaving its female leads with random men.
No. And also, it also doesn't seem concerned with just leaving those female companions just semi-random.
Forever.
we'll circle back to that a few times.
Okay.
So,
but I will tell you, and I like... This is nothing against the actress who played Susan, because I'm sure she's fine. And Susan's character is most of the time okay. But she did get difficult at parts, and I already thought... She already seems like it's going to be less of the screaming and nonsense.
Yes, she didn't do... She did one lot of screaming, but that was more of a sad screaming.
Yes.
So not like a I'm in danger scream.
More like upset with someone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, not Doctor
Who. Doctor Who. Also, the Doctor continues his little sassiness. You know, when Barbara finally wakes him up because they've landed and the Doctor didn't feel it.
Mm.
And she says, Doctor, the trembling has stopped, talking about the TARDIS.
And he's like, I'm glad you're feeling better. I thought that was funny too. I thought it was funny how... And look, I understand they're close now and a bit of more of a family.
Yeah.
But the way he was like, my dear boy, and he was all like, you know, he was very, like, hugging them, basically.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's nice.
Well, I feel like he's gravitating to them more because Susan's gone.
Yeah. But there's a moment... So he says, you two go out there. We should have a look around. He does make the suggestion. He's like, we should probably... We can just take off again.
Yeah.
But then in the next moment, he's just like, ah, actually have a look outside.
Yeah.
So he sends Susan... Susan.
She's gone.
She's gone.
Well... Maybe not forever.
Now, but... remember, from now on, you can't mistake Barbara for Susan. You have to mistake her for Vicky. Or Vicky for Susan.
Okay, true.
Or Ian for Susan.
How do we mess them up anyway? Susan was annoying, and Barbara is probably my favourite character so far.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I confuse them. They're total opposites of who I like and don't like.
Barbara is good.
She is.
That
continues.
They should have a show called Barbara.
It's not quite as catchy.
There is a spin-off audio series of a companion where it's just the title of the companion's name, which is pretty good. The first name,
it's not Barbara?
No.
You know, they could do that today. They could just go, I wonder what happens with her character, unless, as I'm right from my guessing, because she's already dead.
Well, I'm not telling you anything.
Good.
Some of the old doctors who would... You know, the actors who play them are dead.
Mm-hmm.
But they still release audio plays with them. And there's actors who sound very much like them.
Right.
So you're like, oh, I can hear that. I can hear Fraser Hines doing a second Doctor impression.
Right.
It's very good. Like Fraser that? Hines is a very good second Doctor, that's all.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We'll listen to it at one point.
I don't know why you're looking at me. Are you saying something because there's something bad about the second Doctor?
No.
Okay.
I'm saying Fraser Hines makes a good second Doctor.
Okay.
You'll meet him one day.
Sure.
So Vicky is like, there's a thing on the screen Like, she notices that something's landed. So she goes into another room and she talks to Bennett.
Yep.
Who appears to be, like, an injured survivor of some kind.
We've had this scenario before.
Yeah. In fact, this ending, the ending of this is very reminiscent of the ending of, I think it's the Sensorites.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Where it's like, you thought someone was dead, but actually not dead and somehow in charge of things happening.
Absolutely.
So, Vicky's like, oh, there's the rescue ship's here because they think they're getting rescued from this planet that they're on.
Yeah.
And he's like, Bennett's like, no, your rescue ship's coming in a few days. And he's like, you must be crazy. And so, he seems very pessimistic. And
well, he reckons they're 2 months away.
Yeah. Or, I don't think it's 2 months, maybe a couple of weeks.
They say 69 days.
69 hours.
Oh, hours. No wonder this whole time I was like, how did she... This whole story arc has completely changed for me. Because I thought they were going to have to wait for 69 days. And she's like, the ship's here. And he's like, they're 2 months away. What's wrong with you? But now I get it, why she could think maybe they're here early.
Ian and Barbara have wandered off.
Mm-hmm.
So classic split up time.
Mm-hmm.
So they wander off and they get to a cliff and they can see out and they see a crashed spaceship.
Yep.
That appears to be from Earth. And they're like, oh, there's a crashed ship there. I mean, one of them points it out. And during their conversations, I think Ian also makes reference to the fact that the Doctor's like getting on a bit.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me again, it's like, they have no idea, like, how old he really is.
Right.
So they're like, he's getting on a bit. Maybe he's been getting on a bit for a while.
Yeah.
But then a big man in a suit comes out. Now, a creature of some kind.
Yes.
And is like, who are you? And wanted to know how they got there. And he's like, did you come out of that box? And they're like, we did get here in this box. And... he says, is there anyone else with you?
Yeah.
And Ian immediately is like, yes. It's like, keep that information to yourself.
Just relax a little bit.
Yeah.
And of course, Barbara is like, tries to stop him because she's the smart one.
Yeah.
But of course, Ian's already let the cat
out.
Let
Barbara do the talking. Let Ian do all the fighting. He's a very strong man.
He is. He can beat Jaguar warriors. We know this.
Let Barbara do all the thinking, because she also, in that episode, tried to mess with time. You know, where she was like, I'm going to make this society better. And then they were like, no, that's not how time works.
No. We just watch atrocities from afar and go, bye, and travel off.
Yes, except they're increasingly getting more involved in things.
Yes.
Because I think the thing that's different for this episode than the previous one is in the previous one the whole of Earth was at stake.
Yes, that's true.
So they went from giants that had their own little story going on to the planet being taken over by Daleks to a crashed ship on a remote planet.
That's true. You're right because they kept talking about not messing with time. But when they found out about the Daleks attacking Earth...
They messed with time big time.
They just completely... Yeah, they threw the whole thing off.
But I guess the other thing is it messing with time if it's the future? But then when is the now, you know?
When is the now, you know? I know what you're saying.
Well, if you think about it, we exist... This is off topic, but we exist in the now, right?
We do.
But if you go back to 2 days ago and you screw something up, you've messed up now.
Which has already happened from your perspective.
Yeah.
Right.
Or is it that you go back in time and you try to mess up something, but because we're here having this podcast episode...
It's going
to
happen.
It's going to... Like, that messed up thing didn't occur.
I think if you're going to talk about... I mean, this is real deep now. Way off talking about Doctor Who and these creatures. But... If you're traveling through time, time is no longer linear to you, right?
It's more like a big ball.
Yes, it is. It's more just all crunched up together, and it's not like a long straight line.
Mm.
So I think regardless... Is that a reference? I don't know. He had this weird look in his face after he said that. But jumping back to the past and changing something is therefore no different to doing that in the future if time's not linear to you anymore.
Yeah, I guess.
So I just think you do nothing.
If you go into the future... Yeah. Well, we'll have some episodes where I reckon... You'll be like, that's interesting, because sometimes they jump to the future and they learn something that they've done in the past, but from their perspective, they haven't done it yet.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, if you traveled from now into 5 days from now, and I was like, why the hell did you do that thing? And you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about, because right. within those 5 days, you've come back and done something that's really annoyed me.
There you go.
But you don't know it yet.
No, so get over it. I didn't even know it happened.
Okay.
But I see what you're saying. Like, the problem is, if Doctor Who doesn't want to mess with time, he should just not travel anywhere. Because the moment he travels somewhere and someone sees the ship, things have already just changed now.
The ship.
The TARDIS, the box.
I think that we'll see more and more of that, like, why does he interfere thing come up.
Cool.
But let's get back to this.
Yes.
So...
Let's talk about the now.
The now in the year 2643 or something.
Yeah, I thought I wrote it down, but I didn't.
It's the year 2493. Or that's at least 2493 when I think we learned that Vicky left Earth to come to here.
That's a good point.
So it could be, you know, a few years after that.
And as we learned, it's all disputed, so...
Ooh... The creature that's talking to them is an inhabitant of this planet.
Yeah.
And is like, take me to this other person that you've accidentally mentioned. And Ian's like, they're this way. And so Ian goes to leave.
Yeah.
And he just leaves.
That's exactly my next point.
Because I was like, make sure, like, why are you leaving Barbara behind? Because I know the being steps in between the two of them.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's basically doing the old, you stay here while your friend goes gets the rest. And then that way I've got like a hostage if I need it.
Yeah.
But Ian doesn't turn back around. He just keeps walking.
He even says, are you coming, Barbara? As if to make a point of like, you're definitely supposed to come with me. But then he bolts.
Yeah. And then the creature's like, I'm your friend. I'm your friend, Barbara. And then there's a struggle and she falls off a cliff.
And he looks like a giant prawn man.
He does. And look, I don't know if maybe it was deliberately done because of what we find out later, but he definitely just looked like a man in a suit.
Yes.
More so than I think he otherwise would have been if he was really an alien.
I agree, but because we've seen some suits that are not that good as well. Some have been really good,
yeah,
and some have not been. I didn't even read it that way. I just thought, well, this is just like a costume that's not so great this time.
And also, I was kind of like, you guys can't see through that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, the 60s.
Woo! You know?
No time for a smack bottom. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Go on. What do you mean?
That's my new catchphrase.
Yeah. A jolly good.
Jolly good smack bottom. Back in the TARDIS, the Doctor has realised the planet that he's on. Dido.
Yes.
Great singer.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought.
I was like, oh. Although a lot of her songs are very sad, I find.
They are.
There's an explosion.
Yes.
The weird creature shoots some stuff going out, like the ceiling, to like make a cave in.
Mm-hmm.
And the Doctor goes outside to find Ian, like, all on the... Can I just say, I wrote this down. William Russell, every time he does a tumble, he needs a raise. Because that acting, he did a very good fall.
He has.
And in fact, I'd like you to do something.
Go on.
Because obviously, William Russell's not in the show forever.
I assume.
So when we get to the end of his tenure...
Yes.
I would like you to do a montage of every time he falls over.
So I'm going to put Ian tumbling montage together with the Yakety Sax Benny Hill song. It's going to be great.
Great. Yes.
And all the tumbles.
Can I get you to do something else?
Depends.
At the start of that, can you put in... I know you can't put in too much because it's like copyright things.
As long as they're short clips, it's fine. I can put in whatever I want.
Can you just put the one line of the doctor where he's like, Ian's such a strong man, and then just have him falling over constantly?
Is that said pretty early?
I think it is said...
Aztecs?
In the Aztecs. I think it might even be said in the Cave of Skulls, the first one, you know?
Oh, it is.
Where he's like, you're the strongest of us, and then just have him falling over.
Yeah.
That would be good.
I think he also says to... Doesn't he also say to Barbara to console her, like, he's a strong one, he'll be fine, or something.
Yeah, you can put that in the middle of it. Just so you get a break between all the falls. And because in this episode, his tumble is quite good.
Yeah.
It's a bit... It's like the time when he was falling around inside the suitcase when he was tiny, and then with an extra bit of, like, throwing himself to the ground.
Man, I hope that the TARDIS wiki has all the information. I'm just going to look up Ian Fall when we get to that part in our show and just take all the clips. And what I'll do, the Yakety Sax music will be playing and then it'll all cut to the Doctor and the song will stop to the Doctor saying, he's strong, he'll be fine. And then it'll continue on.
And the Doctor helps Ian to recover.
Yes.
And I put, the doctor mentions he may not have a medical degree, which I was like, interesting. You know,
yeah.
He's like, Ian's like, oh, it's like a very quick examination. And the doctor's like, I might not be that kind of doctor. And you're like, oh, hello.
Hello.
What did you think of that?
I thought it was pretty clever. Yeah. I thought he said, yeah, no, I thought he was, no, I didn't think he was saying I don't have a degree. I thought he was just saying I'm not really a doctor.
Yeah. Which I guess, I guess that makes sense because, you know, like he hasn't said he's a medical doctor. No. He just seems to be a smart guy.
Yeah. Can I just quickly say before we move on?
Yeah.
Some important things about the planet Dido.
Mm-hmm.
That weren't mentioned before that I wrote down. So the doctor said he's been here before.
Yep, I've got that.
So unless I've misremembered something, this is the first time other than planet Earth that we've seen the doctor re-land somewhere that he's been
before. Yeah, I think so. I think he had lots of conversations with Susan about places he has been.
Yeah.
But they haven't actually gone to a place that they've been to
before. And he landed here deliberately, but didn't tell them.
Yes.
How does
and
that play
he mentions
out?
That the people that live there
yeah.
are incredibly, like, friendly.
But do we ever find out why he wanted to land there in the first place? Was it just that they're friendly people?
Maybe. I mean, he just hung out with Daleks for, like, 6 episodes.
That's true.
So he probably wanted something a bit more friendly.
Because I really thought at the end there was going to be some reveal of, like, him maybe saying, oh, I wish I'd been able to meet up with the people I met with before. I didn't realize they'd all been killed because I was going to talk to them about blah, blah, blah. And that's why he landed
insert
here.
Insert story here.
Yeah. That's why I landed here deliberately. But he just kind of says it and then we're off.
Yeah. I mean, that happens a lot. Oh, I've been here before. Yeah, I've seen this before.
But he said, I landed here deliberately and I wanted to know why. And we never find out.
Does he say it in this bit? He says he's realized he's landed on the planet.
Because he has a little chuckle to himself and he says, what if Ian and Barbara ever found out I landed here deliberately?
He does. He has a little chuckle to himself.
But we never find out why. It's a great mystery.
So Vicky, let's go back to her.
Yes.
She's in the ship. She hears a sound from outside. And it's...
The explosion.
Coquillion comes into the ship. Now, Coquillion is the creature from earlier who we didn't catch their name of. Who
threw Barbara off the cliff.
Barbara fell off the cliff. Did he throw her?
Yeah, he had her by the arm.
And he could have saved her, I guess.
I thought he pushed her.
I thought they were just struggling and she fell off the cliff.
Could be. Because she was back.
He was like, I just want to be your friend.
Wow. Friends, make a friends.
And she was like, I'd rather jump off this cliff.
That's true. Whoa, talk about being friend-zoned. Not only do I not want to be your friend, I'm just going to jump to my death instead.
He mentions to Vicky that, like, he's like, I don't want you to go too far away. And she's like, she doesn't mention anything, but Coquillion is like, another ship landed, I killed all of them.
Yeah.
So, she's a bit sad about that.
And what we find out from this is that she has some kind of rapport with this Coquillion creature, which is really weird.
Yeah, it's probably like Stockholm Syndrome.
Yes.
Because he's obviously keeping them captive.
Yeah.
Her and Bennett. That's his real name.
Mm.
If you're hearing car sounds in this, by the way, there's just a loud car outside.
You know, it's cool.
Gonna rip through that time stream.
Whoa, that guy has a loud car. Very cool, huh?
Ooh. Oh, he should hear my e-bike.
Wow. Oh. I do not like that.
So, Coquillion is, leaves.
Yes.
Oh, he actually goes to talk to Bennett.
Yep.
And Vicky's like, thank goodness he's gone. I've got a hidden barber in the room.
Yeah.
So she reveals that Barbara's there. And I guess they have a pretty interesting conversation because Barbara probably, like, by now she's heard plenty of times that her friends are dead. So she's probably like, they're fine.
Yeah.
But she doesn't really know why Vicky and Bennett don't just escape. Because there's two of them.
And overpower Coquillion.
Yeah. And Vicky reveals the flare gun to her as well. To be like, this is how I'll get the attention of the ship.
Rescue ship.
And by the way, that gun, it's a wooden prop. Made of wood. There's some trivia for you.
Ooh.
That comes back. There's more trivia about that gun.
Okay.
They chat. And Bennett comes in. And she and Vicky's like, ta-da, there's a Barbara here.
I got me a Barbara. It's a bit creepy when you say it that way out of context.
And then the scene just kind of cuts to, I think, another brilliant set of scenes of Ian and the Doctor traversing perils within a cave.
Yeah.
Another cave.
Maybe flashback to...
every cave, every episode.
Well, but yes, but very specifically, when they first met the Daleks and they had to travel through those caves.
Yes. So, let me go through the caves I remember.
Sure.
Yeah, so, the Cave of Skulls.
Yes.
The cave in the Keys of Baroness. With the ice.
Yes, the ice soldiers.
The ice soldiers and the bridge.
Yes.
The caves in the Daleks, where I think one of the Thals is like, Ian throws a rope to him and it just hits him and falls to the ground. I remember us talking about that.
That's what I was thinking of, because there's similar ways they're shimmying across the edge of a cave.
Not a cave, but in the Sensorites, they go down to where the aqueduct is.
Yes.
And it's like just a dark set of caves where people have survived.
Yes.
So I remember those four.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget they were in the underground just in the previous episode with the Daleks.
Yeah,
where there was crocodiles.
That. Yep.
Tiny, tiny alligators, I should say.
Yes.
So they are very frequently in caves or cave-like areas.
That's true.
So this really should be like
a no-brainer.
A no-brainer for them.
And yet, none of the caves have had traps like,
they were like
this one, though.
Thank goodness for these handholds.
Yeah.
And that weird creature down there, which I thought, good-looking creature.
Yeah. It made me think of, you know how the Daleks had their little pet that would roam around the outside of that little mm-hmm. house? This is like, I thought this was going to be Coquillion's pet.
No, but it's not.
It's like a giant prawn slug.
A prawn slug? That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Now, did you know Here's another trivia for you.
I didn't, but tell me.
The person in that suit, pretending to be a weird creature, is also the voice of the captain that says to Vicky that they're 69 hours away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, same guy.
Cool.
Saves on money, probably.
Yeah.
You don't need another actor to talk. You'd want to make screaming creature sounds.
Yes.
I'm guessing he didn't make those sounds.
No, I don't think he made those sounds.
No.
But that'd be very frightening if a person could just express that kind of a growling yell the way that monster does.
Yeah.
And
so,
of course, me sitting here thinking he said 69 days, and I'm like, geez, how are they going to last here 2 months?
So the Doctor and Ian are, like, shimmering across, like, really narrow passes.
Mm-hmm.
And using those handholds, and then Ian pulls one off, and it sets off a trap of, like, really long swords coming out of the wall.
Indiana Jones-style trap.
Now, I didn't understand why he didn't just walk around them.
Yeah, because they're pushing towards him as if they're going to push him off the cliff.
Yes, but there's pretty large gaps between the blades.
Yes.
You could probably put your legs up, like, you could stand sideways.
Yes.
Now, he does mention that they are very sharp, so I guess that's annoying.
And then very quickly throws his arm through them to pass the torch over to the Doctor.
Yeah.
After saying, wow, these are sharp. Here, have a torch.
But torches always that big. That's a big-looking torch. Also, I need to Google old torches, because it had like a big... Maybe that's where the battery is kept.
It was like a minus big lamp thing with a handle.
Yes, yes.
That's what I was kind of thinking it was meant to be like. But did you notice the swords were coming out of the wall very slowly? He could have just sidestepped back over to where the Doctor was.
Yeah, because the ones that even... Because there's two sets of swords that came out to like box him in.
Yep.
And then there's more that came out to kind of push him towards the edge.
Yep.
But the ones that boxed him in didn't come out that quickly.
No.
But I guess it's a cave and it's dark.
Yeah, you also don't know if they're just going to suddenly, like, plunge forward, I guess.
Or, like, rotate.
Yeah, that's a good point. We could have designed better traps.
Be like a blender.
Yeah. It's like blending up the food for the creature down below when he falls over.
Jeez. But correct.
Yeah.
So Ian walks around it. He uses his coat to cover the blades.
Yeah.
I think. And then starts, he goes around them. And I think that's actually the start of the next episode.
Yes, I think so.
It even actually says here, it starts in the episode, Ian skirts the bars holding him.
Oh, so that's a clever way of saying he stepped around them. Which is all he had to do.
Yes. Episode 2.
Yes, Desperate Measures.
So the Doctor and Ian, they come up, they work out how to make the doors go, the spikes go back in, and they come across a door,
mm-hmm.
and they go, we can't get in there anyway, let's just go towards the light.
Let's go the obvious way.
Out of the cave.
Yes.
We got poor history with caves.
Yes.
So they go towards that. Meanwhile, Barbara and Vicky are helping Bennett back to bed.
Yep.
And let me go to my next page of notes.
I think you better.
I thought it was really interesting. I put, these people don't like help.
Yes.
Because Vicky has a very, like, defensive conversation with Barbara. And Barbara's like, we can take you away from here. And she's like, I don't need you or your help. I'm fine here with the man who can barely stand and a creature that is terrifying.
Yes.
And so I thought that was interesting. And Bennett is like, don't help me to bed. I can get to my bed myself. And it's like, geez, come on, people. You've been trapped here. He's got different motivations, obviously.
Yeah, which we
but
find
her,
out.
I was just like, you don't want help?
You'd think, yeah, you're waiting for a rescue ship because you are in a helpless situation. What's wrong with you?
But it could also be that whole thing from that we mentioned earlier about, like, Stockholm Syndrome. Like, she's now used to being in this situation.
True.
I put at 5 minutes, an animal appears and Barbara kills it immediately.
Yeah, it's the prawn slug.
But so, Vicky is outside.
Yeah.
And the prawn slug appears.
Behind her.
Behind her. And Barbara's... Didn't... Barbara made no shout. She didn't say, look out. She didn't say, run. She actually didn't say anything.
Yeah.
She just grabbed the flare gun and shot at it.
Well, just before she shoots, she says, Vicky behind you or something.
And Vicky says...
Don't shoot or something.
She says, don't shoot. I think she also says, wait.
Yeah.
But no, just bang.
Boom.
Now, this is where trivia about the gun comes back. You ready?
Yes, the wooden gun.
So, I'll read it from here, but the gun had an explosive attached to it.
Oh.
Because it flares up.
Yeah.
And so when Jaclyn Hill, the actress who plays
Barbara,
fired the flare gun, she's injured. And she has shock and, like, burns. Oh, and a sore face, it says. So, turns out it was much louder than she expected it to be. And you can actually see, like, the fire, the explosive coming off it.
Yeah.
And so, apparently just she wasn't ready for that.
Is this the second episode where current events have applied about... a prop gun going off the way it shouldn't? Do you remember last week there was a thing about... Remember I said to you there was a guy loading a gun with it pointed at his face?
Yeah.
And all the Alec Baldwin stuff that's going on. And now this time the explosive goes off when it's the way it's not meant to.
Yeah, but the thing is, this is a long time ago. Without any special effects. So I guess the way you make an explosive thing happen is you put an explosive on the thing. You know what I mean?
And just say good luck.
And they're like, do you have any training? Oh, no? Oh, that's fine.
Good, we won't lose you. We won't lose anyone of importance if it kills you.
Or how about we don't, like, set the explosive off away from you first so you get an idea of what it's going to sound like. We'll just put an explosive in your hands.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Man, that's so dangerous.
But yeah, like these days...
Ah, the 60s.
You could do so much of that stuff.
Just special effects. Or also, guns made to fire off in a way that's not going to, like, shoot back at you.
Yeah, I always find it weird when, like, obviously the stuff with Alec Baldwin is very tragic. But, like, why is there a real gun available that can shoot something on a set? You know what I mean?
Because they used to just use real guns with blanks.
Yes.
But now there are prop guns.
Yes.
So how do you now get into a situation where it can still be used as a forceful weapon?
And obviously using guns with blanks, again, that's because they didn't have the special effects at that time to do, like, to do a shot without, you know.
Yeah.
Now you can just use a fake gun and have it, like, you could put that effect on it.
After.
Yeah.
And blanks are not completely harm-free. People have still died from blanks.
Yeah.
So the fact that this lady... what's her name in real life?
Jaclyn Hill.
Survived holding a wooden gun with an explosive attached to it is just bizarre.
Yeah. Thank goodness. Imagine how you explain that. Doctor, you could have been over.
Yes, that would have killed it forever.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
It's weird. There'd just be this weird, like... 15 story show that, you know,
imagine that the person who played Susan left the episode before and she's like, whew,
dodged a bullet there.
Literally. Got him.
So Vicky's very upset that her pet has been killed. It makes some horrific sounds, by the way. It takes a while to die.
It does.
And I thought that dragged on a bit, but I think that's also to show the significance, like, because Vicky's, like, crying out in sadness, and the creature's, like, dying.
And we find out that she's been training this monster as, like, a pet.
Yeah.
And apparently it no longer eats anything but vegetables.
So, again, big difference from Susan.
Yes.
Susan would not go near a creature like that.
That's right.
Do
you think the writers of Doctor Who thought, after... the actor for Susan left.
Carolyn Ford.
Carol Ann Ford.
Yeah.
Maybe we should write a character who does more so that the actress doesn't want to leave.
I do think you definitely get some companions who feel a bit samey.
Okay.
I think Vicky at this stage is still a lot like Susan, but a bit more independent. But I think she develops more than Susan does.
Yeah, because it felt like Susan was going to develop more as a character, and then it kind of didn't happen.
Yeah, there was times where she showed real independence, and then the next episode she'd be like screaming at a Dalek again or something, you know?
Yeah.
But hey, now she's married to a man when she's like 15 or something. I'm going to keep mentioning it because it really does... I don't understand. Anyway, I don't understand why, as a writer of a show, you'd be like, play this character like she's 15. Oh, by the way, she's getting married now.
In the year 2164, where things have obviously not progressed.
Yeah.
To like, hey, let's not marry that child off.
Yeah.
In London. Or wherever they are, in England somewhere.
I think they were in London, because there was Big Ben and all that. Big Ben and all of that.
Well, all that destruction, yeah.
So, the Doctor and Ian turn up.
Yep.
I guess they don't know what's happened. Because Vicky's all, like, angry with Barbara, and the Doctor's like, hello, we're here. The Doctor and Ian just wander in.
Surprise!
Surprise! And Barbara's like, oh, great, you're here. Now, then it kind of cuts to a scene where it's Vicky, the Doctor, Ian and Barbara all talking.
Yep.
And they're like comforting her. And the Doctor's talking about, hey, we can get you out of here and all of that. And she's like, no, I don't want your help now. And so the Doctor's like, Ian, Barbara, you guys go out. I'll deal with this. Because as we've seen on the show, I've always been the most caring, loving one. Mm. Like, very, receptive to other people's emotions.
Oh, really?
Very helpful with talking through things.
Right.
I'm very slow to anger, that kind of stuff.
Yes, and I'm going to put a beautiful montage of all the times he's angry over the top of it. Because, I mean, I guess he's developed as a character, but it feels much...
He definitely has developed, but he still has moments where he's just like... You know, even it wasn't that long ago where he was like, Ian Barra... It's great having you on the ship. And then in the next scene be like, I'm dumping you somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, next place we go, you're out. And then it turns out to be France. Pre-revolutionary France.
And now he can say, I did it to Susan. I'm not afraid to do it. Yeah. I'll kick you off.
I find it interesting, speaking of that, that Barbara and Ian, like, they don't even question that at all.
I agree, it is
weird. They acknowledge that the Doctor misses Susan, but they don't say anything like, why did you leave your granddaughter there?
Because we were talking about this last episode of our podcast, what's going to happen now?
Yeah.
Are they going to discuss it? And they don't go down anywhere near the conversation we thought they would.
No. I mean, they discuss it, like, briefly.
Yeah.
Enough to go, like... We need to find your replacement granddaughter, apparently. But,
no questioning of the plan or why it was done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the Doctor and Vicky have a very nice discussion.
Yep.
And she mentions that her father has died, and she mentions the stuff that's happened on this planet, which is out of character for the species that actually live there. And so the Doctor's still like, this is a puzzling situation. But the Doctor's like, show me to this guy, Bennett. I'll talk to him. And then if he agrees to my plan to get you out of here, let's do that.
Right.
So the Doctor leaves. Ian and Barbara come back in. And Vicky and Barbara have a bit of a... It's all good that you killed my pet moment. You know what I mean?
She comes to terms with it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So the Doctor breaks into Bennett's room. Because he knocks on the door and there's a thing that's like, don't come in.
Yeah.
Suspiciously,
it sounds like the same phrasing and tone every time it's said.
Mm.
But I'm not going to lie, I say that now in hindsight. I totally did not see that coming.
No, when he opened the door and the guy wasn't in there and it was just playing on... It was on a record too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which I was like, very 60s. But I liked that. I was like, oh yeah, well done. Now, a record, I presume...
Yeah.
That eventually that needle on the record would go down to nothing.
Yeah.
So if he was gone for long enough, it would just stop
playing.
It would sound like he was dead or something.
Is that what you mean?
I guess as it gets to the end, if he's got audio on the very end of the record, yes, it would sound like that.
Or if it skips, it's like, don't come in.
Or the staticky sound?
Yeah, that's true.
What's going on in there?
Why is there jazz?
Wrong record.
Don't come in.
That's the B side. So the doctor's like searches the room and he finds a trapdoor.
Yeah.
Now, instead of going and being like, hey guys, I found a trapdoor, he just goes down the trapdoor.
Well, yes, but first of all.
Okay, first of all.
He breaks the door in. With, like, an implement. And I was like, why didn't you go back and just get people to help you at this point?
Also, you can hear him breaking in when we cut back to Vicky.
Yes, you hear the noises in the background.
And Vicky's just like, oh, I'm just trying to get in. there's no sense of worry. Typical doctor.
But you're right.
Old man that I've just met, typical.
Again, they split up. He leaves, goes through the trapdoor on the floor.
But I feel like... The doctor going out on his own becomes typical. Like,
okay,
the plan of being like we should all split up is terrible, but the doctor would probably be like, "I'll need to make sure this is safe before I bring my,
posse. Companions."
Yeah,
yeah.
I put it 15 minutes that the doctor wanders off. before that, I wrote down one sentence that says. Vicky likes the doctor.
The docker.
The doctor.
Yeah.
That's nice, isn't it?
I suppose.
Now, the doctor, goes down the trapdoor, he walks through some cave thing, and he does come across, what's the guy's name again? Coquillion.
The prawn man.
Now... Those two people. So the doctor. Sorry, we should go over this.
Yeah, let's not skip ahead.
So the doctor and Coquillion have a bit of like a discussion. The doctor's like, I've figured this out.
Do you like that the doctor's sitting in a chair with his back to that guy like a Bond villain would?
Yes.
And the camera just zooms up to him and he's like, I've been expecting you.
Yeah. And he's like, I know exactly what's going on here.
Yeah.
You're actually Bennett.
Hmm.
And he doesn't really... Bennett turns out to be a criminal.
Yes.
Who killed all the Dido people.
Yes.
And the crew of this ship. And then is keeping Vicky rescued.
Yep.
So that when rescuers come, she'll vouch for him.
Yeah.
While also dressing up like Coquillion to keep her from running away, I guess.
Well, when he's dressed as Coquillion, because that's the twist, is that it's him, he basically tells her, I can keep you safe from my people, being those prawn people, I'm just going to call them that.
Yes.
So it's keeping her contained at the ship so she doesn't discover that they're just regular, nice people like the Doctor was expecting.
Yeah.
Because all episode... In fact,
they are regular people.
Yeah.
Because a couple of them rock up in a minute.
And then, they look like the Carl. What were they called? The Carls?
The Thals. The Carls.
Hey, my name's Carl. And my name's Carl. Thals. Yeah, the Thals.
Yeah, they just look like, you know, those. I think they may even have the same top, like the costume thing going on. And I was like, okay. So I wonder if Vicky ever thought, I've never seen those two in the same room together.
Yeah. But I mean, we didn't.
Maybe
in
hindsight, she would have been like, oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
Makes sense. Because every time he goes to see Bennett, he's like, you stay here. I'm going to go talk to Bennett. And then in the next scene, Bennett will be like, oh, he tortured me for information or something.
Even though I was just very solemnly saying, don't come in. I was being tortured.
The doctor and then they have a fight.
Yes.
And I loved it.
Yes.
There was like a tussle. He had the weird wrench wand thingy and tried to shoot at him.
Yeah.
And
very physical.
Now, I think Bennett like was going to win that because he was on the doctor, like had him with like his hands around his throat.
He was going to strangle him to death.
And then two randos turn up, and Bennett's like, "I thought you were all dead because I killed you."
Yes.
And they don't say anything.
No.
But they capture him, and then the doctor I think is then unconscious.
Well, hang on. They go to capture him, and he backs away towards the entrance and then falls down the cliff.
Yes, sorry, that is there.
But I don't understand why, because he's used that entrance 100 times when he's switching back and forth between these two personas.
Because he's terrified of two regular people approaching him?
I guess so. Also, where did they come from? Were they just standing in that cave in the shadows forever?
Maybe they just discovered his hideout.
Oh, true.
But we'll never know. But again, it like we mentioned before, is very reminiscent of the survivors of the ship in the Sensorites.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, these people are here.
Yeah, okay. Where did they come from? Maybe they heard when the doctor used that wrench weapon and it fired off in the cave and they came to discover the sound.
Yeah.
But there's been other explosions and flare guns going off and
no one's done anything.
They just rocked up.
In the next scene, the doctor wakes up in the TARDIS and Ian and Barbara are like, sorry, we used your key, but here you are, safe in here.
Mm-hmm.
And Vicky's outside. And the doctor's like, I'll go talk to her. And she's like, oh, what am I going to do? Do I just go back to Earth? My father's dead.
I have no one.
Yeah. And the doctor's like, well, I don't have a granddaughter anymore. He doesn't say that. But he's basically like, do you want to, like, come? Because I guess it's a good thing that he's got other companions.
Yeah.
He's like, we're a family. Do you want to be in our family?
Mm.
It's kind of nice.
It is. And I like the fact that some shows would have just replaced someone as Susan and acted like nothing happened.
Mm.
But they decided to have an episode where Susan leaves and bring in a new character. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they did it that way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. Like, that. Like, she's actually got a reason to go with them as opposed to just, like, really superficially just changing her to the same character again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that Carol Ann Form wanted to leave, so they goodbye the character instead of just saying, okay, well, someone else will play Susan now, and this goes on forever.
So the doctor goes in to his ship, and Ian and Barbara are like, Vicky should come with us, and he's like, I'm one step ahead of you. And Vicky walks in, and she's like, oh my gosh, there's so much stuff in here.
Mm.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then we cut back to the two Dido people.
Yeah.
And they walk in. The ship, the crashed ship is sending out like a signal to bring the rescue ship in, and they just destroy it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a really random scene where they basically sprint into that set and then just tear it apart.
Yes. I don't know if they needed that.
No, I don't think you did.
But I will tell you something. I guess
they didn't want the people to land because they were sick of people now.
Yes, that's probably what it is. And because the people are going to figure they're dead, let's just go.
Yeah.
But see, my big question was going to be what happens to the rescue ship, because I thought they were 69 days away. So I thought, imagine traveling for 2 months to get to a planet and no one's there.
Oh.
But it's only going to be 3 days and they're going to realize what's happened.
And then fly back.
I think my way was much sadder. They should have done it that way.
But I think there's going to be plenty of sad moments.
Right.
We'll be fine.
We'll be fine.
Then the ship lands somewhere else.
Yes.
on a cliff.
Yes.
And then I thought that was pretty good where it was moving. I thought it was funny how the ship's obviously moving and shaking. And for starters, Vicky's probably now been like, I should not have come here. No. This person can't fly this thing. And then they all like do a bit of a tumble because the TARDIS falls down a cliff. And then...
And Barbara, once again, the hero of the show so far. I mean, the Doctor's doing a little bit more now.
Yep.
But she says, quick, fly off again. Let's roll. Let's get out of here. But then they all tumble.
Mm.
She's still the one who's trying to save the situation.
Okay.
If it's not clear, I like Barbara the best.
Barbara is quite good.
Yeah.
She'll never leave. She's still on the show today.
Oh, cool. Is she the Doctor?
No.
Anyway, I told you she's going to die. I know it.
End scene.
Literally.
So would you like some continuity?
Yes, sir.
So they talk a lot about...
I won't look in case there's spoilers.
Yeah, look up or that way. Actually, you still need to look down because the microphone's there. So they talk about Susan's departure.
Yes, they do.
And I won't tell you when, but this isn't the first time that the Doctor... mistakes one companion for another. So when he's like, Susan, get my coat, and then he's like, ah, oh, Susan's not here, he does that because he has so many companions. He does mistake names at some points.
Right.
The Doctor, Ian, and Barbara briefly talk about how they met, and they discuss their problems with caves. There you go.
Yes.
And directly, here's the list of cave episodes. An Unearthly Charles, that's the first series.
Yep.
The Daleks, Marco Polo, and the Keys of Marinus.
There you go. All the ones he said, including one that wasn't, that we didn't get to watch because it doesn't exist. Marco Polo. But I do remember them talking about the caves being bad luck.
Yes.
And like you said last week, pools of water, bad luck. Caves, bad luck.
Yeah.
It's all bad luck.
At least they didn't put on any clothes this time.
They didn't steal
someone's clothes.
No. But they have a new person who's got a brand new wardrobe of Susan's stuff.
Yes. Yes, she's going to like that wardrobe.
Okay.
I think now we should rate the episode.
Good. Who first?
I'll go.
Doctor Who first.
I think it's refreshing to have a short like story every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't mind the two part of it. I do think it ended quite abruptly. It was like, by the way, these people are alive.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think... There wasn't really a strong resolution to the problem.
Maybe a third episode in a 3-episode story arc would have helped that.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe. I think... Because I don't think it's a bad episode, but I don't think it's a standout episode.
No.
I think I'm going to give it an 8.
Wow, that's exactly what I was going to give it as well.
Ooh, double Paul McGann's.
Double Paul McGann's. Whatever that means.
I wonder if we'll ever watch an episode where I give it a William Hartnell.
Oh, wow. From what you told me, there may be episodes that are like that.
There's one that I can think of that I have a pretty low bar in, but I don't think I can even give it a 1. I just think it's not that great.
He's just never going to get a rating, is he? That's a shame.
Oh, well. Maybe you'll give it a 1. If I give it like a 2, you might be like, this is really bad.
Well, so far in terms of Doctors, he is my number 1. So.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I've seen what some of the other Doctors look like just because of being on BritBox.
Mm.
He's going to be up high for a while if they act like how they look.
But if you just looked at how he looks without seeing how he acts, you'd be like, ugh.
That's true. He does, but to me he looks like a crazy old man, but in a fun way.
Have you seen the question mark umbrella yet?
No.
Okay, let's not worry about that yet.
Okay, I will forget it forever. Umbrellas upside down do look like a question mark.
Mm. Ready?
For?
The end.
Bye. No. Before we go, we're on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can go to a link tree. It's linktr.ee/fanandfool. All of our stuff is there. What an amazing image you're showing me over there. We're on all that stuff. TheFanandFool@gmail.com.
Yep.
Please contact us and say hello.
Yeah.
Ask us questions.
I hope people say hello to me.
I don't mind it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I did realize this is just an old thing that we haven't done for a while, but this is an image from the next episode.
Okay. It's William Hartnell and another old man They look like they're... Maybe not, but to me they look like two old men in a spa because they've got, like, towels or sheets on.
Yep.
Oh, it's going to be a Roman thing.
Yeah.
But at first glance, I thought it was William Hartnell, another old man in a spa embracing each other.
Yeah. So the next episodes are called The Romans.
Ooh.
Just like we've had The Aztecs.
Yes.
And it is a 4-episode arc, so I think we'll do it all at once.
Agreed.
And look forward to that next episode.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of the ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity.
Reverse
the polarity.
Reverse
the polarity. He's reversed the polarity!
Reverse the polarity of the neutron.
Reverse polarity.
Reverse the polarity. Reverse the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.